Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And obviously in the last few days, there's been a huge number of economic developments, both locally and internationally. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to deal with all of the key issues. I think for this week, we should focus on the decision by the South African Reserve Bank to cut interest rates, and then more importantly, their decision to focus specifically on achieving a 3% inflation outcome. They haven't changed the target. That's not something they can do. Only the Minister of Finance can authorize an official change in South Africa's inflation target. But clearly the Reserve Bank wants to achieve 3%, and they are now going to recalibrate their inflation models in order to get to that as an outcome over the next couple of years. The second topic I think we need to focus on is the US labor market data, which was a lot weaker than people anticipated, and the feed through from that into US interest rates. Obviously, it's created some concern about the weakness that is developing in the US economy, and obviously a lot of that weakness relates directly to President Trump's tariff agenda. But I think it has changed some of the outlook for US interest rates. So I think those two topics probably the most relevant at this stage. So last week, the Reserve Bank decided to cut South Africa's repo rate by 25 basis points. I think that was mostly anticipated. I don't think all economists expected it, but I would imagine the vast majority had anticipated the repo rate going lower. So the repo rate now sits at 7%. That's still very high if you consider an inflation rate of 3%. So the Reserve Bank is still running a fairly restrictive level of interest rates. The key thing, though, that got everybody's attention was that the Reserve Bank announced they will now focus on achieving a 3% inflation outcome. That doesn't mean the target changes. There's no, at this stage, likelihood of the target changing this year. At some point, we anticipated that there may be an announcement in the medium-term budget policy statement to change the target, but the Minister of Finance clarified that that's very unlikely to happen. And so at this stage, the target remains 3 to 6%. But what the Reserve Bank is saying is that within that target range, instead of focusing at the midpoint, 4.5%, they've now focused on achieving 3%. That means that their interest rate policy and their reaction function, in other words, how they react to various data points, will now be calibrated based on achieving a 3% outcome. They clearly feel they can get there. They think South Africa will get to a 3% outcome in the first quarter 2027, but they acknowledge that the process of going from where we are to getting a 3% sustainable inflation rate is going to be difficult, and that it's going to put the economy, at least in the short term, under a bit of pressure. And so what they've done is revised down their growth expectation for this year and next year. Already, you would say the growth rates are fairly weak, but the Reserve Bank has lowered those expectations a little bit to reflect the fact that they're going to have to continue to hold interest rates relatively high as they endeavor to achieve this 3% outcome. And then in 2027, what they're saying is the growth rate is revised higher simply because you then start to get the benefit of having achieved a lower inflation rate. From our perspective, there's no doubt that if you can get inflation down to 3%, that's hugely beneficial for any country, because you should be then able to cut the cost of capital through a sustained reduction in interest rates. So that's beneficial. And you should also get a more stable exchange rate, and an exchange rate that doesn't necessarily weaken quite as much as it has in the past. So I think there are some substantial benefits to achieving a 3% inflation outcome. And I don't think anybody really would question those benefits. Where I think the debate is this the appropriate time to try and achieve that 3% goal? Already the economy is fairly weak. Should we be putting the economy under more pressure in order to achieve that 3% goal? And the second is, can we achieve that 3% goal? At this stage, we anticipate inflation moving up to above 4% by the end of this year. So over the coming months, we think it's going to move further away from the 3% outcome. And so you can't be absolutely confident that you're going to be able to achieve the 3% outcome. And potentially, all you do is inflict some pain on the surviving economy, and you don't necessarily make substantial headway on inflation. So there are a lot of unknowns here. There's some risk to the Reserve Bank's credibility, but they clearly feel that this is an appropriate time to endeavor to achieve that outcome. That is because right now inflation is under control, and it has been under control at around 3% for the last 9 months, and they don't want to give up that opportunity. It is much more helpful if you're trying to achieve a lower target if you're already at that target rate. In other words, the credibility is already established if you announce a new focus for your inflation outcome and you are already making significant progress in achieving that lower inflation rate. So this is an opportune time to try and cement a 3% outcome, and clearly the Reserve Bank doesn't want to miss that opportunity. I think there are going to be some areas that come under a bit of pressure. Food prices are already moving higher, and we've got to watch that. There's always the risk that the currency weakens and we get some imported inflation. And then clearly we've got some administered prices that could remain elevated and make it more difficult to achieve the 3% outcome. But at this stage, you would say that the bulk of South Africa's inflation data is well contained, and that even if we did get one or two shocks through various price adjustments, it doesn't mean necessarily that our overall inflation rate is going to suddenly become problematic. So I think there's a reasonable degree of confidence that we are able to keep inflation at a much lower level than we have done previously. And there's no doubt that it helps us that China is currently exporting deflation. China is looking for places to sell their goods. They're not able to sell as easily into the US. And so other markets become an opportunity for them. And clearly, in order to gain that market share, they are willing to keep prices very low. And so you're going to find, I think, that global inflation moderates as countries look for these trade opportunities. So this is as good a time as we've had for a considerable time if we're going to achieve this better inflation outcome. And so we hope it's successful. I think we're only going to really know that during the course of next year. I think this year most people expect, as I said, the inflation rate to drift higher, but the test is going to be next year, and whether we're able to break back below the 4% level and demonstrate that a 3% inflation rate is sustainably achievable. In terms of the US economic data that was released last week, I think we need to focus on the US employment data for the month of July. The numbers were released on Friday, and they were clearly disappointing. During the month, the US created 73,000 jobs. That sounds okay, but the market was expecting an increase of 104,000 jobs. In addition, the previous 2 months, they revised down the number of jobs created by 258,000. That's huge. So to give you an example, if we go back to the previous month, initially they had reported that they had created 147,000 jobs in the month of June, and then after the revision, that 147,000 went down to 14,000. So it sets up a completely different feel about the US labor market. It now looks as if companies have adopted a wait-and-see approach over the last 3 months, and understandably, that would link into President Trump's tariff and the tariff uncertainty. So as you create this economic policy uncertainty, companies have simply said, we're not sure where this is all going, we're going to adopt a wait-and-see approach. That doesn't mean they're cutting jobs, they're simply not adding to the number of jobs they already have. And so you go into a kind of holding pattern. Fortunately, the unemployment rate remained under control. The unemployment rate went from 4.1% to 4.2%. That's not much of an increase. And 4.2% is a very decent outcome. That would be viewed as essentially still full employment. Now, importantly, what helped the unemployment rate was that you're getting less people entering the labor force in the U.S. I think in the last 2 months, the size of the labor force has declined by 130,000 people. So why has that decline occurred? It's mostly occurred because you're getting less immigration. The southern border is much more restrictive. It's very difficult to cross into the U.S. from Mexico. And so as a result, there are less people that are therefore entering the labor force. And as a consequence, even though the U.S. is not creating many jobs, the unemployment rate remains under control. Now, that sets up a bit of a policy dilemma for the Federal Reserve. On the face of it, the labor market looks as if it's weakening, and that would encourage the Fed to cut rates. But an unemployment rate of 4.2% is still very decent and suggests the labor market is strong. I think at the next FOMC meeting, which happens, I think, on the 17th of September, it's very likely at this stage that the Fed will actually cut rates 0.25%, partly because interest rates are still restrictive in the US and partly because the economy has clearly lost momentum. And there's no doubt that the labor market has softened. That doesn't mean that the labor market continues to soften. We're going to have to wait and see how companies adjust to the higher tariff rates, but it's entirely feasible that companies have to absorb a significant portion of the tariff increase. And if they do that, then clearly their cost base comes under even more pressure in terms of their profit margin. And what they may feel they need to do is try to take some of those costs out of the system. And obviously one of the ways to reduce costs is to cut the level of employment. So this is setting up a bit of a risk to the downside for the US economy. I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to still wait for the next few months to see how companies absorb and deal with these tariff increases and whether they try and pass those on to consumers, in which case you get a bit more inflation, or whether they simply have to absorb that. And I think that matters hugely for how the US economy develops. So in last week's FOMC Federal Reserve meeting, they simply kept rates on hold and indicated that they need more information. And I think that's obviously fair. But it now seems clear that that information, that incoming information, is pointing to the need to cut rates. And I think the Federal Reserve will cut rates further, probably twice this year, once in September, once in December, and then continue to reduce rates during the course of next year. So a lot of moving parts in the US economy, but there's a lot of evidence to say that the tariff environment is undermining US economic activity. It's caused a higher degree of uncertainty. It's dampened down confidence in many sectors. And I think companies have simply done what is logical, and that is go into a wait and see mode to try and understand where the US economy is going from here. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.